This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave, and we're spending the hour today on one of the least straightforward topics in personal finance, how to talk to your family members about money. Now, you might have heard me say earlier that my father was obsessed with money and always talking about it. It certainly wasn't taboo in our family. But that didn't make it any easier for me when one of my relatives asked to borrow some money. Borrowing and lending, just one of a number of awkward situations that can divide a family. It's so hard not to alienate people we love when money enters the conversation, right? Economist Diane Lim can relate to this, and she joins us now to offer advice on how to make these discussions about money go a little more smoothly. Hi, Diane. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Barbara.
Let's talk for a bit, and a little later we're going to take some calls from listeners. But I do want to set some groundworks in talking about lending and borrowing money. Now, say you find yourself in need of a loan, and you do come to the conclusion that it's appropriate to ask a loved one for the money. How should you start the conversation?
Well, this is not just a hypothetical for me. I've been in a position where I've actually asked my own parents for financial help in terms of loaning me some money. And sometimes it's not just a question of coming to the conclusion that maybe going to family is the best option, but sometimes you feel like it's really the only option.
Is that how it felt for you?
It felt like that for me at the time. And I'm not talking about ancient history either, because, you know, I've recently been divorced a few years ago, and it's very expensive to go through a divorce when you have several children. I have four kids, and two of whom are in college. And so, you know, having all these life events happen at the same time and having to pay for lawyers and having to split everything up financially, it's the most financially burdensome thing I ever had to go through. And I hadn't prepared for it. You don't save to get divorced. You don't.
Sure.
It was not something I had put into the budget, you know, and I found myself having to ask my parents for help.
How did you do that? Just what was your icebreaker?
Well, you know, hopefully you have a close relationship with your family member to begin with, such that your family member can kind of figure it out when you might need some help. And maybe they're even the ones to bring up the topic first. Like, for example, if I were talking with my kids, you know, when I'm on the flip side of the situation, when I feel like my kids need help, my college kids need help financially, I bring it up with them first before they ask me. Sometimes you luck out, and that's the way it happens, is the person that's going to help you actually brings it up first. But I think if you're not in that position, you know, it does help to, in my case, the way it made it easier for me to bring up the topic is I figured out how it could be a win-win situation for both of us. This is where I put on my economist hat and just remind people that, you know, the interest rate that most of us pay when we borrow money from the private market is way higher than the interest rate that most people earn when they save in the private market. And so avoiding the private bank and being sort of banking within one's family is actually a win-win situation, in the sense that when it came to my arrangement with my parents, my mom said, "It seems like you need some help. We'd like to help you." Well, my mother was basically offering to just give me money. And I said to her, "No, I don't want to take any more money from you. But what if we could work out an arrangement where I borrow a certain money from you and I figure out what kind of interest I'm willing to pay and the terms? And that way I can pay you a higher interest rate than you can earn in the rest of your savings and any other option you have for your retirement savings. And I can pay a much lower interest rate than I'd pay if I went to a bank."
So it sounds like you went into that conversation with a very clear idea of your offer, of terms, of what you wanted to get accomplished financially.
Right. And I think that the mistake maybe some people make, and I'm not speaking about this from a, you know, financial planning standpoint, but just from my role as a person who's been through this, I think a mistake is if you go into these arrangements with family members without spelling out the terms, thinking that, oh, it's family. I don't have to clarify that this is a loan versus a gift. I don't have to clarify how soon I'm going to pay them back and what kind of schedule and interest rate I'm effectively going to be paying them. So I think it's very important to spell out the terms, because if you don't talk to your family members and establish that understanding before the transaction is made, I think you're setting yourself up in the future for bitterness and, you know, grudges that will be held. And I was very grateful to my parents. And I think that the combination of that gratitude from me plus a higher interest rate they could earn elsewhere was very appealing to them.
Well, this is great. I feel like you've really set the scene now for our callers. And we do have a couple of them on the line today who'd love some advice on how to talk to their relatives about money issues. Our first caller is Catherine in Tallahassee, Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, just great. Welcome to the show. So I understand you're preparing to reveal some big news to your daughter. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Right. I have a daughter who has graduated from college, and I have a uniform gift to minors account that she is now old enough. She's reached the age that it needs to be turned over to her. And I think there's like, I don't know, 12, 13, 14. I haven't looked at the balance recently, but it's a sizable amount that was left over from her undergraduate degree. And I know I have to turn it over to her, but I'm very apprehensive because I have a fear that she will blow it all.
What makes you think that she'll blow it all? Tell us about your daughter. Is she responsible, or how well does she handle money?
Well, she has had some part-time jobs, but she is still fairly dependent on myself and her dad for support. And I mean, she's generally pretty responsible. I guess it's just the fact of getting a windfall all at once. And I guess maybe I'm reflecting my fear. I inherited some money about when I was her age, and I kind of ran through it.
Oh, really? How much did you get?
I don't know. This was like 30 years ago, so it might have been like $3,000, $5,000, $6,000. I don't know what that would be in 2013 dollars, but you know, I had never had that kind of money before, and I just kept buying stuff, you know. And
sure.
One day, I looked around, and it was almost gone. And I just really hate to see that happen, because that money would have come in useful if I had just like spent a little of it and then kind of nurtured it and saved it for, you know, future house down payment or, you know, to purchase a car or something instead of just sort of frittering it away.
I bet Diane has some ideas for you, but I just have one more question. Does your daughter have any idea this money is coming her way?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, it was money I put, you know, I started when she was born, I started saving it, and I've used most of it for her, you know, for her undergraduate. But she got some scholarships and such that I didn't need to use as much as I thought I would.
Oh, well, good for both of you. Diane, yeah. Catherine is all yours. What do you think?
Well, I also have a 21-year-old daughter. She's my oldest. Catherine, I think you should tell your daughter your own story of your inheritance and what you just told us. You know, it's a great kind of life lesson. It's perfect. I mean, I think that you are doing what I do a lot with my own daughter, which is I project a lot. Like, you know, I've done this in the past, and so she's going to do it too. And I would like to think that all of us moms, we can have our daughters do better than we did if we tell our daughters all the mistakes we made as when we were their age. And with this amount of money that your daughter can take charge of, I mean, I think it's, first of all, it's tremendous news for her. But maybe when you let her know about this, you can also sit down with her and say, how can I help you, Catherine? How can I help you, my daughter, your daughter, make the most of that money? Like, how can you make it last the longest or contribute to something that's going to last her a while, such as saving up for a down payment on a house eventually? And how can you tell her your story of your own inheritance where you now seem to have some regret that you didn't save it for a better use? You know, the other approach is, I suppose, if you really feel like you don't trust her, and I think I would have this conversation before you come to that conclusion, but if you really feel like you want more control over how your daughter uses that money, I mean, I think it's possible for you to give it to her in installments instead of necessarily all at once. But I think the best case scenario is you sit down with your daughter, give her the great news that there's this chunk of money that she's going to be able to take control of, and develop a plan with her about how she's going to use it and how long she's going to make it last.
Catherine, have you told your story to your daughter?
No, I've never. It's never really come up, I guess. When I bring it up, I'm going to bring that up to her, because when I did kind of blow through the money, I then had to go to a family member to ask for the money.
Right.
Oh. And it was a very humbling experience.
Well, this sounds like a long and good conversation.
Yeah, it will be a good conversation. Yes.
You know, I had a friend who blew, not an inheritance, actually. She got money from a lawsuit, and she always said she blew it on sunglasses and scarves. And now every time I want to buy a scarf or sunglasses, I think of her and I don't buy it. So
sounds like a lot of sunglasses and scarves.
She was very well accessorized. Well, Catherine, good luck. Your daughter, she's
right.
Really lucky to have a mom like you. I hope that conversation goes really
good
well.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Diane, we have another caller coming up, but first we're going to take just a really quick break. Will you stick around? We'll be right back.
Sure.
My guest this hour is economist Diane Lim, and we're talking about how to have those tough conversations with our loved ones about money. And Diane, we have Sam on the line from right nearby in Pasadena, California. How's it going, Sam?
It's going well. How are you?
Just great. Thanks for coming on Marketplace Money. And I'm looking at my notes right now, and I see you wrote to us about being conflicted about having a conversation with your parents about finances. What's going on with them financially?
Well, my father was laid off about 4 years ago from his job, and he was a few years shy of getting a pension that I know he was looking forward to getting. And now him and my mom are kind of living what I think is a pretty precarious financial lifestyle. My mom doesn't have a lot of steady work, and my dad is, I think, trying to find work where he can. And I'm just concerned. They've got some property investments that they made back during the real estate boom of some houses in Florida that aren't worth the same amount of money that they were. And I kind of think they're living in a house that's probably too expensive for them now. And just concerned about, you know, what the future holds for them, and making sure that they have a long and happy life and get to enjoy time with their new granddaughter.
Oh, I bet a lot of people listening can relate to some of the story that you just told us here. Now, you're married.
Yes.
Yeah. So is your wife going to be involved in this conversation with your parents?
She wants to be. She kind of has told me in the past that we don't want to be in a position where, you know, we're supporting my parents into their elderly years. And I very much agree with her. I don't feel like that's the position I want to be in. But at the same time, I'm kind of conflicted. I want to make sure that they're happy. They've done so much to give me a good life.
How much have you talked with your parents about their financial situation in the past, and how have those talks gone?
We've tried to talk with them. I think my parents kind of have a very different life than I've had. I'm kind of a professional engineer, and my parents, I think, grew up in the 60s and 70s and have a different outlook on kind of corporate America, I guess. And we tend to, I think we're almost speaking different languages when we start talking about finances, things that I consider kind of basic understandings of interest and taking out loans or having good credit don't seem to resonate the same way with them. So my wife and I tend to get frustrated and really not want to continue the conversation. I think at the same time, my parents seem to get a little bit defensive because they don't want to seem like they're maybe projecting that they're in a bad spot to me.
So they're coming more from the hippie end of things?
And definitely.
You're the responsible engineer of flower children?
Kind of Alex P. Keaton incarnate.
Oh, Diane, this is a good one for you. What's your advice for Sam about what to say, and maybe much more importantly, how to say it?
Sam, how are they living near you now?
That's another tough part. They actually live in the Northeast.
Wow.
You know, we'd like to have them come out and move out here, but property values, there's a big differential there.
Right. And do you know if they're in a lot of debt?
They are. You know, we've actually kind of talked to them about where they're at, and we've talked about if they liquidated everything and if they were to relocate to California, how that would work out. And it does not seem like a very good situation, at least in my retirement planning lens. They would only be a few hundred thousand dollars, which they're only in their early 60s, and I don't think that's enough to continue into their 80s.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if there's a way you can emphasize the positive when you have a conversation with them, in that, like, make it more of a kind of family strategy to, you know, get all of you into a better place. I mean, basically, if your parents stay in New England and you're in California and they're continuing to live beyond their means, eventually that's going to be your financial burden, not theirs. And I would suggest that you frame it in that you want everyone to kind of you want to find a way for you to help them out and for them to help you out a bit. And, you know, start talking to them and asking them questions about whether they think about moving into a smaller place, whether they'd like to come live near you. I mean, once you sort of have a goal in mind that's emphasizing the positive, like, you know, a new place to live and more time with family, maybe that will motivate them more to look at what would be required financially to make that move. You know, it might be that it doesn't have to be like, oh, you're living in too big of a house. It could be, you know, oh, wouldn't you love to come live in a cute little place closer to me in California? And start with a goal instead of, you know, a punishment. It won't put them on the defensive as much, because it'll be more like, let's think of this new goal for us as a family. Let's try to get you into a better place physically and financially. But instead of saying like you're living beyond your means, emphasize the new place they're going to be, instead of getting out of the situation they're in right now.
Yeah. Well, they're actually just in town right now to visit their new granddaughter, so I probably won't talk about it with them on this visit. But I think going forward, we are going to start talking more heart to heart with them. And I know with the new grandbaby out here, they want to spend more time out here. So maybe that's a good catalyst to get them to really think about all the positives about moving out here.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Thanks so much for reaching out to us here at Marketplace Money. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Diane, this is so tough. But I think all of us have a better idea how to have these conversations now. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me, Barbara.
Diane Lim is an economist based in Washington, D.C., and formerly author of the blog Economist Mom. And on Facebook, check out the personal finance advice being passed down from the parents of our listeners. Heather's mom told her, enjoy the silver, china, and other nice things you have now. Don't save them for the second wife. There's a backstory there for sure. Want to share some of the money lessons you learned as a child? Leave a comment for us on Facebook, or you can tweet us at Radio Piggy Bank.